O best of kings, please get up. Get up. Just see this world surrounded by water and infested with rogues and so-called kings. This world is very much afraid, and it is your duty to protect her. Purport. Whenever an Acharya comes, following the superior orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative, he establishes the principles of religion as enunciated in Bhagavad Gita. Religion means abiding by the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Religious principles begin from the time one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the Acharya's duty to spread a bona fide religious system and induce everyone to bow down before the Supreme Lord. One executes the religious principles by rendering devotional service, specifically the 9 items like hearing, chanting, and remembering. Unfortunately, when the Acharya disappears, rogues and non-devotees take advantage and immediately begin to introduce unauthorized principles in the name of so-called swamis, yogis, philanthropists, welfare workers, and so on. Actually, human life is meant for executing the orders of the Supreme Lord, and this is stated in Bhagavad Gita 9:34. Manana bhavama bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mam evaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matkarayinaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me and become my devotee. Offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. The main business of human society is to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all times, to become his devotees, to worship the Supreme Lord, and to bow down before him. The Acharya, the authorized representative of the Supreme Lord, establishes these principles, but when he disappears, things once again become disordered. The perfect disciples of the Acharya try to relieve the situation by sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master. At the present moment, practically the entire world is afraid of rogues and non-devotees. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is started to save the world from the irreligious principles. Everyone should cooperate with this movement in order to bring about the actual peace and happiness of this world. Namaste, Sarasvati Devi, Bhagavan, Chani, Namaste, Chachanavali, Mukam Kanti Vatavan, Pambam, Mumbai, Devi, Vini, Kri, Vatam, Maham, Kandi, Echi, Nikram. Om Nath, Namaste, Vinam, Vinas, Vakara, Chakshu, Om Nath, Om Nath, Panchaka, Vatari, Vishat, a difficult class for me to give, and I'm not exactly sure how to proceed. I was in Vrindavan when Srila Prabhupada left. I was in Vrindavan for about a month before Srila Prabhupada left, and there were many times when we thought Srila Prabhupada would stay, and Prabhupada said he wasn't going to stay, and then he wanted to go on Parikrama and Govardhan, and so many different things, up and down, eating, not eating. And a few days before Srila Prabhupada's disappearance was Govardhan Puja, and I was making the outfit for Krishna Balaram and Radhisham for Govardhan Puja, and so I had been working a lot right up until the time of Govardhan Puja to think with the workers. There's so many crazy things. But anyway, there was some money that was sent to me in Delhi, and on the 14th of November, I had to go to Delhi to get that money, otherwise it would have been sent back to America. And so myself and Kalindi, who is a god sister of mine, former wife of Rupanuru, we departed at the
at 5 o'clock in the morning by rickshaw to the bus station in Vrindavan to catch the bus to Delhi. It was a little different than it is now. There was no big highway, and the road was very bad. It took sometimes 5-6 hours to get to Delhi, not like now. And the best bus now stops right in front of the Krishna Balaram Mandir, but at that time, if you wanted to get on it, you had to go to the bus. So on the way to the bus, we got hit by a bull, and the rickshaw turned over. We both fell on the ground. You'd think we would have known that Krishna was trying to tell us something, but we didn't pick it up. We got back on the rickshaw and we went to Delhi. And then we were coming back by train to Mathura and in the evening, and we heard that Srila Prabhupada wasn't going to stay with us for more than a few hours. So we took the train to Mathura, and then we took the bus from Mathura to the Vrindavan bus station. And when we got off the bus, everything was going on normally. All the people were doing their thing, and no one was saying anything to us, so we figured, okay, well, everything must be okay, because surely Vrindavan would stop dead in its tracks if Srila Prabhupada had anything had happened. So we went to the temple, and when we got to the temple, we walked into the temple, and Srila Prabhupada was on the asana. But it wasn't, Srila Prabhupada wasn't there. Srila Prabhupada was there in one sense, but not there in another. And in the front of the temple, some devotees were digging a samadhi for Srila Prabhupada. He stayed there all day, and he had kirtan all night, all day, Prabhupada sitting. And then the next morning, we took Srila Prabhupada on parikrama. So I, myself, and a few of my god sisters, we decorated the palanquin. And the next morning, we left on parikrama to go to all the temples in Vrindavan, the major temples. People came out from all over to appreciate Prabhupada, to give him garlands and cloth and so many things. Some devotees had arrived from America. They were just coming to the temple, and they said, where is everybody going? And said, oh, we're taking Prabhupada on parikrama. And they didn't even realize that Prabhupada had left. So it's difficult, very difficult, to appreciate what Srila Prabhupada did and what Srila Prabhupada is doing. And before Srila Prabhupada left, all of us were kind of doing our thing, you know, going about life and being really happy when Prabhupada ate something and sad when Prabhupada didn't eat something. But none of us, or very few of us, I think none of us really, none of us really understood the impact that Prabhupada was having on our lives, and that would change when Prabhupada left. I don't think any of us really understood. And so, you know, people were asking, we were told to go to Imlitala. Prabhupada really liked the Imlitala temple, and he really liked the devotees there who take care of the Saivites. And so he told us to check with them how to do the samadhi ceremony and everything. And at that time, Prabhupada's samadhi was just a tiny little building. And when Prabhupada came back from parikrama, we performed the ceremony, and everybody was walking around like zombies. No one quite knew what to do or what was going on. So now it's 30 years later. And to some extent, we're just starting to learn how to function. We're just starting to figure it out. And it's been kind of 30 years walking around with zombies. So when it's very difficult to speak, as you can see, so the safest thing is to read, because if you read, it's easier. So I brought something that I... Because what I really want to say is not... It's pretty heavy what I'm saying. So I figured that I better let Prabhupada say it, because then nobody can accuse me of anything. So I decided to read for you the offering that Srila Prabhupada made on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance day. And it was in 1961, which is interesting, because 1961 is just before Srila Prabhupada left for America. He hadn't come yet, and he was started in the Hare Krishna movement. He had, I think, one disciple who he made in Jhansi. He didn't have a movement, and he really hadn't gone to America yet to see what was going on. But still, this is what he said to his godbrothers. He said, "On this auspicious day, I have come with this offering just to worship you, remembering your lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's judgment is that renunciation is the most important thing. Not only that, but knowledge of such renunciation must be delivered to every living entity. If one is bewildered by ignorance, what kind of renunciate can he be? He will only be a Phagu Vairagya, renouncing externally. Renunciation is actually the result of real spiritual emotion. Without such feeling, it is simply known as shobhava. In performing dry renunciation, there can be no real preaching. Therefore, Yukta Vairagya is given as the highest essential understanding. Generally, the sannyasis renounce everything and go to stay in mountain caves, but you, O Master, kept your sannyasis in mansions of marble. To see a sense enjoyer is just like drinking poison, but you, O my Master, go far and near, even abroad, to give them darshan. Malechas and yavanas are forbidden to enter the Hindu temples, but you, my Lord, make them the chairman and sit them in the assembly of devotees. Hindus are not allowed to cross the ocean, but you send your devotees overseas to preach. The devotees want to hide in a secluded place to perform their bhajan, but you, however, do not accept this in your judgment. To resolve all these apparently contradictory statements is not the play of some incompetent fool. If everyone simply sat down together and considered these things, then what nice preaching there would be. This is your order also, that everyone coming together should merge in your message and preach it to the world. If everyone simply imitates, then there will only be a contradictory result. As long as it goes on, there will only be failure. Even now, my God brothers, you return here in the order of your master, and together we engage in his puja. But simply a festival of flowers and fruits does not constitute worship. The one who serves the message of the Guru really worships him. The service of the message is the real meaning of the Vedas. Don't be proud, brothers. Come back to this. Oh, shame, my dear brothers. Aren't you embarrassed? In the matter of businessmen, we increase our disciples. Our spiritual master said to preach. Let the neophytes remain inside the temples and ring the bells. All these things are not our spiritual master's preaching methods. These are all the things done by the caste Goswamis. But just take a good look at the terrible situation that has arisen. Everyone has become a sense enjoyer and has given up preaching. You have become renouncers, brothers, so renounce everything. But if you also renounce the order of your spiritual master, then what kind of renunciation is that? The one who renounces his guru's order, Guru Tyagi, and the one who tries to enjoy the assets of the spiritual master, Guru Bhogi, are two kinds of useless persons. First, become a servant of your spiritual master, Guru Sevi, and then you will understand all these things clearly. If there is only one Supreme Lord, then a true sadhu, even if his wealth increases, gives up his desire for profit, adoration, and prestige in this material world. Your gold brother is the father of sense gratification. This meaningful statement was spoken by Prabhupada himself. Give up your wealth for preaching. Sit down together and make a special effort to come to a decision. The Supreme Lord himself says that everything is his. Don't protest. Just unite and preach.
Srila Prabhupada gave this final message himself. Take great care to do that completely and in all respects. Otherwise your sannyas will be wasted and useless. O saintly one, be careful. Otherwise afterwards you will regret. So what is the difficulty for all of us to come together in this way? And why do all these things even have to be said to you? Give up your stubbornness. There is no time. Come, all my brothers, on this auspicious holy occasion. When will the day come when there will be a temple established in every house, in every corner of the world? When will the high court judge, will be a Gaudiya Vaishnav with tilak beautifully decorating his forehead? When a Vaishnav winning votes will be elected president of the land and preaching will be spread everywhere? Wearing a 2 paisa string, a man is called a Brahmin. Wearing a saffron cloth, he has become sannyasi. The householders beg from the sannyasis, and why not? The sannyasis have tons of millions of rupees in the bank. As the days pass, the influence of Kali Yuga increases, and the poor jivas are all crying in distress. 10,000 cows are killed daily, and the nation's expert leaders are all eating untouchable foodstuffs. People of muddy intelligence increase day by day. A man and his wife separate simply on a mere word. Everyone has become a witch by the influence of the age. Everyone is unhappy due to the absence of the mercy of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas are famous as Para Dukha Dukhi. This fame will increase as the preaching increases. If eternally pure devotional service to Krishna is awakened in everyone, then Kali will flee screaming of his own accord. Praninam upakariya, do work for the benefit of all living beings. This is Mahaprabhu's teaching. This is the storehouse of happiness in this life and the next. So much work has fallen into our hands. Gather together and do it. The mercy of the Vaishnavas is scientific and authorized. Without the Vaishnavas' mercy, this world is simply insurmountable maya. If there is a kingdom of Vishnu and Vaishnavas on the surface of the earth, then the world will be happy. So say all the great sages and rishis. Today, my brothers, get to this task. Save the battered souls by your preaching. Srila Prabhupada, please be merciful today. This time, have compassion. You are not a conditioned soul of this material world. Whatever independence one may have, let it be cast into the waters. The lowly Abhai offers this presentation today. So that was Srila Prabhupada's offering. It's described that it was like a bomb that exploded in the assembly of those Vaishnavas. So you can see many of it, much of it. Of course, we're not renunciates, we're not sannyasis, and some of our God brothers are. But they're trying very hard to preach, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But you can see the description of the material world so appropriate, even though it was over 40 years ago. And Prabhupada's legacy really hasn't changed very much. So I did a little bit of research. Srila Prabhupada, I did a search through Srila Prabhupada's books and writings and letters and conversations. And what I look for is, how does Prabhupada describe his mission? Because that's what Prabhupada left us. Many of us say that Srila Prabhupada never left. And, of course, it's true in one sense. He who reasons ill that says that Vaishnavas die when one is still in sound. And Srila Prabhupada certainly lives in sound and dies to live and spread the holy name around. That certainly describes Srila Prabhupada. But the fact of the matter is that in another sense, Srila Prabhupada has left a big responsibility to us in his departure. And he did leave. There was one wonderful video of one godbrother of Srila Prabhupada. His name is Puri Maharaj, but there were two Puri Maharajas. And this Puri Maharaj, actually I don't think he was Prabhupada's godbrother. I think he was Bhaktisiddhanta's godbrother. And he was very old. And I think he was over 100 years old when he made this video, and some of Prabhupada's disciples came to speak to him, trying to get some wisdom. He was speaking in Bengali. It was being translated. And one of the devotees that was speaking to him said, well, my daughter, you know, she wants to take initiation from Srila Prabhupada.
Now Srila Prabhupada has left, and she's still taking initiation from Srila Prabhupada. And he laughed. And he said, you want Srila Prabhupada to initiate for the next 200 years? He said, Prabhupada is gone. The opportunity is over. Now there will have to be other qualified spiritual masters. So the opportunity lies with us. And the responsibility that Srila Prabhupada gave us is great. It's awesome, as they say. Because the world hasn't changed much. It's still suffering, and the leaders are still terrible, and the people are still in ignorance. And we have a lot of work to do. And Prabhupada is depending on us to do it. Lord Chaitanya is not so much depending on us. Prabhupada said that if you don't do it, then he'll get somebody else to do it. But Prabhupada is depending on us. He really wanted us to do it. He wanted us to take the glory so that Krishna consciousness would be spread all over the world. So in looking at how Srila Prabhupada described his mission, I came to the conclusion that he talked about his mission in three different ways. He talked about his mission in terms of the world outside. He talked of his mission in relation to each of us personally, and how he had a mission to alter our lives. And then he talked about his mission in terms of creating a society, a culture, within the greater society, for people to practice Krishna consciousness. And so I just wanted to look at some of the descriptions that Prabhupada gave, and I'll start with Srila Prabhupada in terms of his mission for us, how he saw the mission that he had for training up you and I, all of us here. He said, why don't you try it? This is our mission. We don't say that you should change your life. We simply say that whatever position you are, you please chant. That's all. You just please chant. You will be happy. You will be prosperous. Krishna will be pleased upon you, and you will be never in scarcity. Our Krishna consciousness movement is teaching regulative life for spiritual life, for the next spiritual life, back home, back to Godhead. This is our mission. This is the way of perfection. Take Krishna consciousness. Make your life perfect, be happy, and go back home, back to Godhead. This is our mission. This is our mission. We don't say that you change your life. We simply say that whatever you're doing, you just chant. And those who are Krishna conscious, they will come to me, Krishna says. So why not become Krishna conscious and go directly back to home, back to Godhead? This is our mission. You have to prepare for the next life. Our Krishna consciousness movement does not mean that we are going to stop all activities. No, this is not our mission. You be engaged in your activities, but don't forget Krishna. This is our mission. Be always Krishna conscious. My dear brothers, do not be hogs and dogs. Be a saintly person. This is our mission. Here is God, Krishna. Take his address, take his father's name, take his mother's name. Why are you searching? Here is God. This is our mission. But if you try to understand that your position is eternal servitude to Krishna, then all your troubles are over. This is our mission. Simply to become servants of God, and whoever we meet, we speak the words of God, that's all. Then you become guru. That is our mission. Then that may be imperfect, but it does not matter. A little bit more. So why don't you become real guru to your wife, to your children, and instruct Bhagavad Gita as it is? That is our mission. And then the last quote that I have in this particular section was described by some of my god brothers as one of the heaviest moments that they ever had with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada sat on the veranda in Mayapur. He held the GBC meeting outside on the veranda on the back side of the Lotus Building. And not the Lotus Building. Yes, the Lotus. And then he... all of a sudden he was speaking to them, and this is what he said. Well, he said, he asked them if they were convinced. He said, are you convinced? And no one said anything. No one answered. Not one of them said one word. So then he said, I am pushing on. It is a fact. I am pushing on because I am pushing on fact, not fiction. That much I am personally convinced. Whatever there is, somebody says, you believe? No, I don't believe. It is fact. Any press reporter, that press reporter, this press reporter, it is not I believe, it is fact. It is not the question I believe or don't believe. God is there. You believe or not believe, but God must be there. You're believing, not believing, it doesn't matter. If I don't believe there is no president, it does not mean that there is no president. There must be president. I do not know who is president. So people are in misconception that there is no God. God is dead. I am God. You are God. God is not a person. So many God theories. But we have no theory. We have got a positive presentation. Here is God. With that conviction, we have to push on. So you must be prepared in that way. There will be so many questions, so many opposing elements. You have to face them by your arguments, by your knowledge. This is required. At least we must have faith in that way. We have to push on. This is a fact. This is the process. This is our mission. So those are the mission statements of Prabhupada to us personally. And then Prabhupada, of course, gave us a job. And those are other mission statements. This is our mission. We have to simply speak about Krishna all over the world. Therefore, our program in the Krishna Consciousness Society is to give people in general a chance to hear about Krishna. This is our mission, which has been given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is our mission. We have to simply speak about Krishna all over the world. So this Krishna Consciousness movement is started just to educate people how to worship Lord Vishnu. Vishnu Aradhanam Param. This is our mission, to teach all over the world. Because we have tried to love God, therefore we are wandering, touring all over the world. The same message, please try to love God. We have no other message because we have understood to some extent that without love of God, there is only suffering. So they will be happy when they begin to love God. This is our mission. There is no restriction of caste and creed or country or nation. Anyone can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to his means. And this Krishna Consciousness Movement is a propagation to teach people how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is our mission. Because without a relationship with God, without reviving our eternal affinity with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we cannot be happy. You simply take up this instruction of Bhagavad Gita and try to preach. Yari, Deke, Tari, whomever you meet, you may remain as a businessman, you may remain wherever you are, you remain a family head, but instruct this advice of Krishna. Yari, Deke, Tari, Kaha, Krishna, Upadesha. This is our mission. You become Indian or American, it doesn't matter. You are a human being. Take to this culture and you will be happy. This is our mission. We want to make everyone happy. Sarva Sukhino Bhavantu. Everyone be happy. With Krishna, that is our mission. So this is our mission. We have got the medicine to wake the people from their ignorance. He doesn't know anything. He is busy only with his 50 years. Nowadays, less still we live. Such rascals we are. We have got the medicine. Now take it. This is our canvassing. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If you don't agree, that is your business. That is your misfortune. The disease is there, and the remedy is also there. So we offer you the remedy free of charges. And if you don't take it, then it should be understood that you are so misfortunate, unfortunate. So our This Krishna Consciousness Movement is a tiny little attempt to convince people that you are searching after God. Take! We don't want anything. We don't want to do any business, but we are simply spreading the Hare Krishna mantra because people are being washed away. Maya Boshe, Jacho Beshe, you are being washed away. Kacho Habo, always in trouble. Kacho Habo Dubuvai. Jeev Krishna Das, A Bishvash, Korle, Toar, Dhuko, Nai. But if you try to understand that your position is eternal servitude to Krishna, then all your troubles are over. That is our mission. So you can see from these quotes, and there are more. Actually, I Prabhupada spoke about his mission, I think 187 times my mission, but our mission, he spoke more, twice that many times. And so it's our mission. And Prabhupada wanted us to take this mission very, very seriously. He gave every ounce of his energy. When Srila Prabhupada was leaving, he was translating at night, and his voice was so quiet that he could hardly be heard. But to keep his ear, Jayadwarji Maharaj was there with his ear to Srila Prabhupada's mouth and the microphone to the dictating machine, just this far away from Srila Prabhupada, so that they could hear the very last of the Bhaktivedanta purport. But Srila Prabhupada's mission is a dynamic mission. It's not stagnant. It's not over. It's still going on. And we're the ones who are carrying the baton. And it's a big, very big responsibility. I feel that weight very, very heavily on my shoulders, especially on this day. I feel it very heavily, so it's a little difficult for me to speak so much. I know some people maybe wanted to hear some stories about Srila Prabhupada, but it's a little hard. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada was there for us in many ways. He tried to give us as much as he possibly could. I think whenever he would feel a little bit that we were getting it, you know, we were moving forward, then he would start to kind of just share with us nectar, and instead of trying to train us, and then something would happen, or he would see, no, they haven't gotten it yet, and then he would go back to training mode. And it was always interwoven. But Srila Prabhupada was always trying to train us, always, because he knew, even though we didn't know, from the very, very beginning, when Srila Prabhupada came in 1969, 70, I believe, he had a stroke, and he went back to India in, I think, 70, 71. And at that time, Prabhupada was thinking he might not come back. And at that time, Prabhupada was saying, if you just practice what I've taught you, then everything will be fine. Just put a picture of me on the Vyasasana, chant in front of the picture, and you and I will be packed up tightly. That's what he said. You chant there, I'll chant here, we'll be packed up tightly. So even then, so long ago, so few books printed, really hardly anything. But Prabhupada still at that time, he said, if you just follow what I've given you, which was basically just the first three volumes of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I think Easy Journey to Other Planets we had. And but Prabhupada gave us those, and he said, if you just follow these, just what's in here, then you'll be able to keep this movement going. He was hopeful. But then he left, and he came back, he got well, he came back. And several other times there were crises in health. The second major crisis in his health, he said it was because his disciples weren't following. That's why he was so sick. And then everybody got really serious. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really announced so much that was what Prabhupada said. There was some anxiety that if we say this, it's like too heavy for anyone to handle it. But those people who were with Prabhupada, the secretaries and the GVC men, they knew that was what Prabhupada had said, that the reason that he was sick was because his disciples were not following. So today we also have the same responsibility to keep Prabhupada proud, to make him happy, and to make our spiritual masters, whoever they may be, happy, because their goal is to make Prabhupada happy. It's a very glorious thing when you see Srila Prabhupada smile. It was pretty traumatizing when you heard Prabhupada yell at you. But nevertheless, whether he yelled or whether he spoke kindly, it was all kindly. That Prabhupada was desperate. He was urgent. From the minute he got to America, his mission was urgent. That, you know, I don't know how long I'll be around, And I've got to do as much as I can to establish this Hare Krishna movement strong, give it roots, so that it can grow whether I'm here or not, because I may not be here very long. And then he said, he always would tell us, don't think this won't happen to you. And we see, you know, that he was talking about old age, he was talking about disease, whatever he was going through, don't think this won't happen to you. And we see, you know, even now, just recently we're hearing some god sisters now ill, and maybe serious, you know, seriously ill. And one minute you're talking and everything's fine, and the next minute it's not fine anymore. So we have to take it very, very seriously. We have to read very, very seriously to find out what Srila Prabhupada wanted from us. Prabhupada changed many details from the Gaudiya Math. He changed many things from coming to America. When he saw who he was dealing with, he adjusted things. But he never once, not even for one second, changed any of the principles of Krishna consciousness. He was very clear and very strong when he preached. And some devotees, I guess today they have to make some presentation in their class on history of Islam. Many devotees were asking me yesterday, you know, give me an example of when Prabhupada was bold, and give me an example when Prabhupada was determined, and give me an example. But Prabhupada's whole life was bold. He was bold every minute. He was bold from the minute he got off the boat, he was bold, right? And the first thing he said when he saw that sign that said, alloyed seal, and he said, our devotion is unalloyed. So he was bold right from the second, you know, the second that he, even before, because when he went to Sumati Muraraji, he sat on her stairs in front of her office, and he refused to leave until she gave him a ticket to America. He just sat there for hours. People walked by, and he just sat, he sat, he sat. You know, in India, you don't really see a sannyasi sitting on the stairs of a building, you know. So he was just sitting, and then Chokshi, who was her kind of her secretary, asked, what do you want, Swamiji? Why are you here? I've seen you before. What is it that you want? Well, I've come to get a ticket to go to America on a ship. And so he went in and he delivered the message, and she said, no, tell him I'm not going to, I don't want him to go. He just sat, wouldn't move. But finally, she said, all right, let him come in. So he came in. Then they argued. She argued with him. A compassionate, motherly argument. I met her. Pretty amazing lady. She's no longer with us, but my students went. She owned a school. She ran a school right near the Juhu Temple by Krishna's arrangement. Her house was like a museum, and she spoke very fondly of Srila Prabhupada. When she saw Prabhupada, she said, you're going to go there and you're going to die. What are you going to eat? You know, they don't have any good. No one's going to know who you are. You know, here you go, and they give you some money, or they give you some respect. If you go to America, they're not going to know anything. They're not going to give you anything. What are you going to eat? So when Prabhupada left, he took a little bit of grains with him. Mm-hmm. So he was thinking, there's nothing to eat yet. So he didn't want anything. When the first time he saw snow, he was like, what's some of the white water in New York? So Prabhupada was bold then, right? Isn't that bold that you think maybe you're going to die in a place, you're going to go to a foreign place, you don't really know anything about it, you can't find out by logging onto Google, you know, what the latest weather is or anything, and then you're there, and that's bold, isn't that bold? And then preaching uptown to these old ladies, and coming downtown being chased by some stoned out hippie. Actually, he was chased by many stoned out hippies in many different ways. And people saying they're God and being intoxicated and dirty, taking a bath once a week, whether they need it or not. And, you know, so Srila Prabhupada was bold right from the minute he came. And he never, if you listen to the lectures of Srila Prabhupada in 1968, you'll hear exactly the same thing as you hear in the lectures of Srila Prabhupada in 1977. Exactly. He never changed his message. I just got a book, I was reading a book, Renunciation Through Wisdom, about the Bhakti Chiruswami put it together, maybe I told you about it, because it was very powerful for me. this book is a compilation of Srila Prabhupada's writings, like in 1950. He took all the Bengali articles that Prabhupada had written and he translated them to English and he made them into a book. And Prabhupada is so heavy in those articles. I mean, he's so heavy. You know, just like this thing in 1961, which he delivered to his godbrothers at a celebration in honor of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So heavy. I mean, he's not mincing words, you know. He's not saying what would be really nice if we could make a few devotees, you know. And, you know, we have to figure out how to preach properly so that, you know, we don't offend anybody. And, you know, we think we should wear karma clothes when we go. Maybe, you know, when I get to America, how should I dress? You know, what should I eat for this? You know, so Prabhupada was strong, you know, he was like fire. And his determination to spread Krishna consciousness from the first moment that he took up actively that mission, even in Vrindavan, was always vyasika intelligent, fixed intelligent, and fully faithful. when he got to America and he spoke, he wrote his poem and he said, you know, I don't know what you want me to do here, but I'm here, you brought me here, so now you better arrange things accordingly, you know, you're sitting in your heart, make my words effective so that they can understand. And I'm just like a puppet in your hands. Oh, Lord, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you want. So this was Srila Prabhupada's potency. He was gentle as a rose and hard like a thunderbolt, depending on what you deserved at the moment. And he wanted us to understand him, to do more than just take his words verbatim. That's nice, you know, to hear his words, but to understand his moving mission requires comprehensive reading and studying his life, really trying to understand what he wanted. And if one thing you should know, you understand from this, what we read today, is that Srila Prabhupada didn't want to waste time. He didn't feel he had time to waste, and he didn't feel that any of us had time to waste. There was one devotee in Dallas, his name was Mir Nasha, and he had cancer, he had leukemia, and he was very, very ill, he was very skinny and couldn't hardly move, and his parents came, and they wanted him to undergo some kind of treatment. The treatment in that day was much less effective in many ways than the treatment now, and they came and they asked Srila Prabhupada's secretary to please, who happened to be Jagadish at the time, and he asked him to please ask Srila Prabhupada to give him permission, to encourage him to go and get this treatment. And they said, tell your Prabhupada that the doctors say that they can give Nirnash normal life again. For at least 3 months, they can give him normal life again. So Jagdish went into Prabhupada and he said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, they wanted to take this chemotherapy or whatever it was at the time. And they say that they can give him normal life. And Prabhupada immediately, he said, normal life? Life, normal life is life without death. Can they give him life without death? If they cannot give him life without death, then they cannot give him normal life. And then he said, the trees are standing for 500 years, but what is the value of their life? So, Prabhupada never saw that we had a lot of time. Not us, not him, he never saw that we had a lot of time. There was always a tremendous urgency in Srila Prabhupada's message. Do it now. Get serious now. Don't wait, right? When he used to love the stories, the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, because Prahlad Maharaj, that was his instruction, you're only 5 years old, so what? You may die at any moment. How do you know you're going to live to be 6? You know, how do you know you're going to live to be 30 or 35 or 50 or 55 or 60? You don't know. So therefore, become Krishna conscious now. Take Krishna consciousness seriously. Prabhupada was very adamant always about us chanting nicely, japa, very carefully, and trying to hear the holy name. He had so much faith in the chanting of the holy name. So if we catch up anything from Srila Prabhupada's instruction, we can catch up that the chanting of the holy name and the preaching spirit. So many now, we have many other options, you know, Dajwaj Maharaj, he speaks about how ISKCON's lost its monopoly. He and I have had many long discussions about what is the essence of Prabhupada's teachings? What is the what is the crux of the matter. And what you put, Prabhupada, he didn't want us to sit around enjoying Krishna consciousness. He wanted us to take Krishna consciousness very, very seriously and give it to as many people as we possibly can. So if there's anything that distinguishes ISKCON from any other attempt to develop love of God, it's that missionary spirit. That Prabhupada was willing to go to the middle of nowhere and stand under a tree in a park full of crazy people and preach about Krishna. And even if one person heard, even if two people listened, even if a few hippies joined hands and danced around in a circle listening to the holy name, then Prabhupada was very, very glad, very happy. So that was Prabhupada's mission, to give Krishna consciousness to us first and everybody else. So we were like Prabhupada's army. And one other thing, just in Dallas, not in Dallas, sorry, in Atlanta, all the Sankirtan devotees, they met there. They were all waiting. It was a special Sankirtan festival, and they all came to see Srila Prabhupada. And so when it was a big kirtan, big meeting, that was when Srila Prabhupada gave us...